Authenticity, curiosity, intimacy. These are important for success in your personal life. But they are also the foundations of a new mindset leading to true success, fulfillment, and happiness in business. A New Business Mindset is a series of conversations with business leaders in which they share the importance of real business relationships founded and based upon authenticity, curiosity, and intimacy. It is a show in which we learn how to cultivate a new business mindset and become more successful, fulfilled, and happy in our own careers. And now, here are your hosts.
And welcome to the show. I am Gareth Young, and I'm delighted to be here today. And I'm delighted to have my delightful friend, Mr. Todd Schnick, on the line with me. Todd, good day to you, sir.
I'm not amiable today.
Well, we're mixing it up. You're amiable too, but we'll try something else as well. Delightful today.
Delightful works. I'm good, Gareth. Thank you. How about yourself?
I'm doing extremely well.
Good.
Reflections on our last conversation.
Yeah.
Before we get started and introduce today's guest.
Yeah, Bob was what an interesting fellow. He had one interesting line that will make a heck of a lot more sense when you listen to it in the context of the conversation. But the idea of, if you have your eye on the goal, you will feel no pain. And that's very profound and very, very, very true.
It is absolutely. It really was. Most of our conversations here are just lovely conversations. And that with Bob, it certainly was one. And I have a feeling we're going to have another lovely one today. We have with us Matt Miller. Matt was an Air Force pilot in the dim and distant past. He spent some time in the medical device and advertising industry. But for the last 10 years, he's been off on his own. He has a business called School Spirit Vending, which is a vending business, of course, and it also does school fundraising activities. So, Matt, welcome to the studio.
Thanks, Gareth and Todd. Glad to be on.
So, start by telling us a little bit about your business, Matt.
So, essentially, what we do, Gareth, is we do hassle-free fundraising for schools. One of the biggest challenges out there today is lack of funds with pretty much any educational organization and lack of volunteers as well. And so, our program essentially helps out schools by providing funds that they don't need volunteers to generate. And started the company here about 8.5 years ago in October of 07. And today we're a franchise with locations in about 30 states here in the U.S.
That's most impressive, Matt. And it's a fascinating story. The fundraising thing with the schools is quite interesting. Tell us a little bit more about that and how it works.
Well, essentially what happened, you know, most schools will do like big events. They'll have the cookie dough sale or the catalog sale or what have you. Our program is a little bit different in that it's a long-term relationship where we literally serve the school on a monthly basis. And we handle all the management and the servicing of our machines, the product that goes in and out of them. And literally, we just send the school a check every month. So it's a win-win all around. The schools are excited to have that extra money that can be used for field trips or school supplies or teacher awards or that type of thing. I had a school here not too long ago. They have a lot of donors right now, but all the donors are earmarking their money for technology. And they needed lice kits, believe it or not.
Oh, my goodness.
So they saw our program as a way to get the school lice kits along with other things. So it's kind of crazy, some of the needs out there that we help fill.
Yeah, it makes me remember a conversation we had, Todd, with Coleman Howard a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He was doing a lot of stuff to fundraise for schools as well. It's an area where we can all spend a little more time and energy.
No doubt.
Going way back in the past, Matt, it's probably not way back, you're a younger man than I am, but going back in the past, you were in the Air Force, and then you moved out of that into industry. What did you bring out of the Air Force? What are the major things you would say you learned from the Air Force that equipped you both first to go into the main sort of corporate world and then from there to go out on your own?
You know, Gareth, I would say the first thing is just discipline. You know, whether you've got it or not, when you enter the service, you learn to discipline yourself very, very quickly. And so that characteristic has definitely followed me since leaving. The second thing is teamwork. You know, it's all about getting a mission done and everybody doing their part. And there really isn't any room for individuals in the military. And so I think I've brought that with me as well. And the ability and the desire to serve others as well as obviously my interests also.
Well, Matt, thank you first for your service. I appreciate that with most sincerity. Most of us, though, haven't served. And so we haven't had that training to be disciplined. Most of us, that's one of my biggest weaknesses, is a lack of discipline. Any counsel you can share to someone listening who may say to themselves, yeah, I could be more disciplined. One or two pieces of advice on how we can improve our discipline?
You know, I would say, first off, get committed to the details. Get committed to the small things that make a big impact day to day in your life. So many of us get caught up with events and what's going on around us. And in the process, we don't end up focusing on what's truly important. We oftentimes end up focusing on what's urgent. And, you know, one of the things I've done is worked real hard to discipline myself to focus on the important and focus on the important for a long period of time. And that's what's allowed us to accomplish some of the things that we've been able to do in business, despite, you know, years of putting it together.
I guess the follow-up question to what Todd asked that, Matt, is, so how do you figure out what's important? Because we think we are focusing on what's important. We just mistake what's urgent for what's important.
You know, I think really it comes down to looking internally and deciding what you really want in life. What is it that you're really working towards? You know, once you know what you want, then you can focus on those steps that are going to take to get what you want. And I keep a short little priorities list. It's just an Excel spreadsheet, nothing fancy, but it's got a list of tasks and it's got dates beside them. I try to plan out everything with 90-day increments. So every quarter, I have specific goals or things I hope to accomplish. Once I know what those bigger overarching themes or goals are, then I can break those things down into smaller pieces. And I utilize that priorities list to focus in on those individual tasks on a day-to-day basis to help me move the ball forward, you know, each and every quarter.
So let's bring that back to your life and your career. You moved out of the Air Force into the business world. That was probably a fairly natural transition. You were probably ready to leave the business world and go do something else. But I welcome you correcting me on that and telling me interesting things that happened. Where I suspect there's a more interesting conversation, though, is you then left the corporate world and went on your own. And there's probably a lot that went on as you were thinking about that move and as you were executing on that move that relates to what you were just talking about.
Well, first off, I was about 2.5 years into doing corporate, and I ended up being the number two sales rep at the company I was working for in the advertising space. Out of 750 reps, got huge accolades my first full year there and was pretty excited about what was happening. I was at the right place at the right time, but was also able to bring the discipline and some of the other things we talked about already to work in the advertising field and was thriving. Well, my boss didn't like the fact that I had gotten those accolades so quickly. And the next year, she ended up increasing my quota over 90%. And in the process, I went from being a hero to a zero. That decision cost my family $80,000 that next year in commissions and bonuses. And I decided at that point that I needed to do something that was going to allow me to take more control in the long term over my life. And to begin with, we collected aluminum cans. I sold used books on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and that type of thing for a couple of years out of my garage. I did whatever I had to do to make ends meet. But I had read Robert Kiyosaki's book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and I bought into his whole concept of passive income. So as I was doing those things, I was looking for a way to make it passive and had a good buddy of mine from church who mentioned that he had a couple of gumball machines that he and his young daughters had bought. And it was something they could do together as a family. And he was teaching them about money and business. And I remembered that. And I was like, you know, gumballs are pretty inexpensive. You know, they're only a quarter a piece. It's going to take a lot of gumballs to make up the deficit that I'm in and give me the freedoms that I want on down the road. But at least I can tell that each gumball machine is going to do X number of dollars a month. And I can just do the simple math to figure out how many I'm going to need to get me where I need to go. And so I set my sights on getting free, on doing my own thing and walking away from the corporate world. But I literally built it, Gareth, one gumball machine at a time to begin with and cash flowed the whole thing because I didn't have any money because of the financial situation we were in. So literally month by month by year over the first number of years that I got started in vending. It was just me with my head to the ground. Okay, I've got a few more dollars I can spend to get another machine. Go get that machine. Now I'm going to place it. And now I'm going to wait to collect some quarters so that I can go get another machine. It was very methodical, very intentional. It was not fast in any way, shape, or form. But I knew that if I continued on, eventually the income stream that I developed would get me out of the hole I was in and allow me to do whatever the heck I wanted to do. And so it was a very long process. I joke with a friend the other day that someday I'm going to write a book called 13 Years to Overnight Success because that's really what it took. But, you know, nobody will read it. So we'll have to come up with a different catchier title for folks. But, you know, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And we all need to remember that in our lives and not buy into the get rich quick money for nothing thought process that a lot of entities online and otherwise are trying to sell to you and me because they're not real.
Well, Matt, on that theme, I mean, goodness, the story of the sales manager changing the quota numbers and then how that cost you and your family significant resources, there are still way too many people out there who have that same thing happen to them. They don't take any action. They just say, they surrender to it, and this is my lot in life, and then they're miserable, and they dread Monday mornings. How did you do it? I mean, what was the courageous mindset shift that you made to say, you know what, enough. I'm not putting up with that anymore. I'm not going to be victim to that kind of thing, and I'm going to take more control. Everyone listening has something like that happen to them, but they don't take action. What's the important thing to do to take that initial step to change things?
Well, the important thing to do is first off, know that you are not a function of your circumstance. And I knew I was better than that. I mean, I went to the Air Force Academy. I flew airplanes for 9 years. To have something like that completely throw me for a loop and for me to roll over and wet on myself because of that just was completely against my DNA and the way I've been wired. And I've always been a go-getter. I've always been somebody that wants to feel like I'm in control, though none of us really are, right? And so I was focused and determined to not let that derail me and my family's future and wallow in it. So I got started and I didn't know what I was going to do exactly. I just got busy making some money any way that I could. And then over time, I figured out what ultimately is what I do today with vending and of course with school fundraising. But it took years for me to figure that out. And none of the ducks are never going to be in a row. You know, you're never going to have green lights all the way down the road that you're looking to drive down. So to think that you're going to have all the answers before you get started on any project or any business idea is silly. And the only way you're going to learn if it's viable, if it's going to be profitable, if it's going to work, is if you go out and start doing and then adjust, pivot, do whatever you've got to do as time goes on. And eventually you'll figure it out. But, you know, it doesn't do any good sitting in front of the TV every night and complaining about your situation because the situation will be the same a year from now. You'll just be a year older and be equally as miserable.
So you were doing this in the context of having, I'm guessing, making a decision to leave the corporate world and go out on your own. Not everybody's going to feel like they're ready to make that decision to leave the corporate world. But I think a lot of the lessons you're offering here are still relevant, are very much relevant. You've said, essentially, you've got the discipline that you got out of the Air Force. You set yourself a goal. You had self-confidence and you set yourself a goal and you applied yourself to get towards that goal, and you recognized things weren't going to happen as you wanted. So you tried, you learned, you played around, you let things develop, and you had stubborn determination, a lot of determination there, Matt.
Yeah, definitely. I just, like I said, I knew I was better than my circumstances. And Gareth, even if folks don't want to step away from their career, we all need a spare tire to fall back on. We all need something else to develop some security for ourselves. And so even if folks, you know, love what they do or whatever, the rules are always changing in the corporate world, and they're never changing in yours and my favor. So it just makes sense in today's society with all the opportunity that there is out there with the web and everything else to do some things, to put some things into place, to provide that added security, to provide that spare tire. I realized after a little while that spare tire could literally be as big as I wanted it to be. And at that point in time, I realized, man, I'm going to be out of this corporate thing as quickly as I can and have control over my life. So that wasn't necessarily the goal to begin with, but it didn't take long for me to see that that could be possible, even with a family of five, you know, mouths to feed, if I just stayed the course and was just steady and persistent over, you know, several years' time.
Persistence is really important there. Go back. I'm really interested with the school thing as well, and we drifted away from the school thing. There's a couple of things that come out of that for me, but one that I want to explore with you a little bit is that feels like it gives you a little something extra. I mean, you've got a business and an income, but you're also engaged in what feels like kind of a meaningful way. You're mixing doing good in the world with making money in the world.
Yeah, it's really neat to be in a position to do that, you know, to help schools and their needs. And then, of course, to help families as well with what we do. Our mission statement is, you know, funds for schools, security for families, and change for kids. Mm-hmm. And of course, the funds part we've already talked about for the schools. The security for families, you know, is directed at the families on our franchise team and how we help folks learn how to do what we have done and apply our system in their lives. And then, of course, the change for kids. Not only are the kids in the schools our customers, but I also feel an obligation to them. And so we are in the process of doing a bunch of things and have done a bunch of things to provide them more than just a sticker out of our machine. I learned how to read and was inspired to read as a young kid, reading comic books.
Mm-hmm.
I took a look at the world here several years ago and saw how many of the comics had more adult themes today. They were darker and they weren't really appropriate for kids anymore. And I was like, well, I've got a platform here where I can start sharing some of this and maybe some kids will be inspired along the way as well. So I hired a couple of young guys who are incredible at that art. And we've created a comic book series called Marlin and Percy. There are a couple apes that want to become superheroes. And we've released 5 comics so far, full length comics. We also just finished our first novel, which will be released here within the next month. And the goal is, once again, to inspire kids along the way. And we're going to be giving those comics away in ebook format to the kids on top of the sticker that they get. And then, of course, they're available online through Amazon and that type of thing as well. But anything that I can do to give back and to provide far more value than the 50 cents that little Johnny or little Susie are spending at our machine is really the goal, and hopefully have a positive impact for them over time as well.
Yeah. See, man, I didn't realize this conversation was going to evolve into a conversation about producing comic books and novels. the point I'm making is that same guy I referenced earlier, who's in a miserable job, whose sales manager screwed him too, and remains stuck and watches TV at night and complains. Again, what's the mindset shift? I want to keep asking about that to open up these new opportunities and try these new things. Like, well, shoot, maybe we ought to produce a comic book. Maybe we ought to do some other things and try some other creative endeavors. And some of them may flop, but shoot, some of them may stick and really change things. Well, again, what's the mindset shift to say, explore these different ideas and opportunities? I mean, that's the difference between those that are satisfied with life and those that are stuck and miserable.
You know, I think what it really gets down to, Todd, is truly believing that as an individual, you can have an impact on your world. And for some of us, it might be in a really small area. But for others, you know, you got the ability to do so much more. And it's just a matter of thinking big and dreaming big and believing that it can happen. You know, I never thought that I'd, you know, be in the position that I am today 6-7 years ago. I was just trying to make ends meet, you know, when we got started. But over time, things changed. And instead of getting content, because let's face it, we live in a pretty nice house. I've got a couple cars that work and, you know, we have food on the table. So a lot of our needs that just a few short years ago I was struggling to meet are taken care of now. And I'll never be that guy driving the fancy car, the Mercedes or whatever. Nothing against those people. It's just not me. So, okay, so what am I going to do next? How can I do more to provide even more value and give back more? And I think many of us just sell ourselves way too short. And I just believe, you know, being a Christian, that I was put here to do good and to serve others in any way that I can. And I see kind of all of this as an offshoot of that belief system.
So you're in a place now where you're providing this service to schools and to families, and you're also, and Todd, this is a word that we didn't bring up here, but I think it's very real, you're also having fun.
I'm having a blast.
Yep. Part of this comic book thing is just having fun, not taking life too seriously.
Yeah, and I mean, I've spent a lot of money on these comics in the last few years. I haven't made a penny, and I may never make a penny from it, but it's just so cool to be the instrument that allows these two young guys who are still trying to figure out what they're going to do with their lives to be creative on my behalf. And the work that they produce is just incredible. And they get better and better and better with each issue. And it's just cool just to be a little part of that and to be the one that is at least giving basic direction and then let them create. You know, I'm just as curious how the story is going to turn out at the end of every comic book as you would be, because right. I'm not directing all that. I'm just telling them, okay, guys, let's do another one.
It sounds a blast.
Yeah, so it's a lot of fun.
Matt, this has just been a fun conversation, and we're about out of time, I'm afraid. But before we let you go, can you tell our audience how they might get a hold of you or reach out if they're interested in connecting?
Yeah, Gareth. So my email is matt@ssvbusiness.com. Mm-hmm. And if you guys don't mind, I'd love to offer just a free giveaway for the audience as well. I wrote a short ebook. It's called Live Your Dreams, The Top 10 Reasons Why You Need to Own a Vending Business. And would love for your audience to have a copy of that for free if they like. They can go to ssvbusiness.com/mindset and download that for free. And hopefully it will inspire them to think a little bit more about what they could do for themselves and their family to create some more security and some more options on down the road.
Well, I'm going to go there myself, Matt, and see if it won't tell me how to write a comic book. Matt, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Yeah, Gareth and Todd, just really, really appreciate the conversation, and God bless you guys.
So from our guest, Matt Miller of School Spirit Vending, from my co-host, Todd Schnick, and for myself, Gareth Young, thank you once again for joining us. And go away, do some good, and have some fun between now and next week, and join us then.
You have been listening to A New Business Mindset, a radio show about the importance of authenticity, curiosity, and intimacy in business. To catch other great conversations and to learn more about the show, please visit us on newbusinessmindset.com. If you liked what you heard, and to really help us out, it'd be great if you'd visit and leave a review on iTunes. So thanks again for listening. A New Business Mindset will return next week.